All right. I'll start reading here at verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall descend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. All right, we're teaching on the subject, changing your world. Changing your world. Now, we've had about 7 lessons before on this, so we're looking here at the 8th lesson. And this changing your world is something that you and I are to do. God takes us as believers and plants us in the world. And he does it on purpose. It's not a mistake. And as he has planted you and I in that world, he sends us in that world that we are representatives not of the wealth of God, but with the wealth of God. The whole kingdom is in you. Find that in Luke chapter 12. The whole kingdom is in you. So he now is sending us in that world. Over in Matthew's gospel chapter 13, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to. But over in 31, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. That's Matthew 13 and verse 31. Which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of all among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. All right. Now, there is nothing new under the sun. That everything that God is going to do for you, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the one who sees and provides. Now, if you look at Isaiah chapter 46, and I'm going to kind of speed along here now, so I'm not trying to be impolite. I just got to cover some territory. He said in verse 9, Isaiah 46 and 9, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there's none like none else, pardon me. And I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from where? The beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do what? All my pleasure. Whatever I said is going to come to pass. Whatever I said, it's going to come to pass. Now, go with me back, and let's look at an example of this. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 6. I think it's 6 and not 7. Let's see. Isaiah chapter 7. Now, this is spoken by a prophet, Isaiah. And as you know, a prophet, prophets foretell, seers foretell. And so here is a prophet. And in the New Testament, the prophets and the seer kind of came together, the whole, both of that, those aspects of those people who see into the spirit world. Look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Now, here is interesting. because the prophet spoke for God. And he said, a virgin is going to conceive. All right. Let's go over here to Luke's gospel. In Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, we actually see something here where an angel came to a virgin named Mary. I thought this would be appropriate since we're dealing with Christmas time. All right, look what it says here. Verse 28, the angel Gabriel came unto her and said, Hail thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with who? With God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a who? Son. And shall call his name who? Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. He's quoting now from Isaiah 9. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come on you, and that power of the highest shall overshadow you, and that therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of you, underline born of you, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this was the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. So it says here, if you want to put another translation beside that verse, you can put this one. No word of God is void of power. No word of God is void of power. In other words, every word that God speaks, the power is in it or comes with it to bring it to pass. Got it? And Mary said to the angel, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Okay. Now, every promise of God in this Bible is your birthright. Every promise. And it's your responsibility that you, in fact, are the ones that causes this promise to come to pass in your life. Everything God's going to do for you, he's already done. Now you have something to say about this. So once you hear the promise, what are you going to do with it? Now let's go. All right. Let's go over to John chapter 1, please. Let me know when you get there. Hello. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. So if I have the Word, I have who? God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by who? Him. Him who? God. God who? The Word. So everything was made by the Word. The Father is the author, the Word is the one that made it, and the Holy Ghost is the one that manifested it. So, verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Come on down to verse 14. And the Word was made what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. All right. Now this is where we want to just slow down just a little bit here. Praise God. So now, Mary went through a process here. And if you know anything about the history of Mary, she was a woman of the Word. All you have to do is study her life. That woman knew that word. And I really believe that Mary had focused in on that scripture and said, that's me. I'm going to take that. Say amen to this. Now, I understand that there had to be a line and all of that, this, you know, in terms of what family line and so forth. But I'm just saying, I think she had something to do with this particular thing that happened to her. Okay? Now, one is she was a virgin. Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay, just wanted to throw that out. Okay, now, in this, I want you to see this. Because everything for you that you'll need in this life has been provided. Now, I'm still talking about you going out now in the world. I'm talking about you being planted. God deliberately plants the righteous among the wicked. He deliberately does that. I'm still talking about that. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, look what he says here in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Now that hath is an old English word meaning past tense. Blessed us with how many spiritual blessings? All spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places where? In Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So, when did he choose you? Before the foundation. When do you think he blessed you? It's already done. Now, you got to get the blessing from where it is in heaven. Not sitting around the throne of God, but over in the next dimension, the heaven that God referred to when he referred to Abraham being the possessor of heaven and earth. Well, if I'm getting too deep on you, just squeal that. Now, this heaven is not way away. It's a membrane away. And it's just over in that dimension that you can't see. But there's a warehouse there. Now, I'm just going to put it in terms so you can grab hold to it. There's a warehouse there, and the warehouse got your stuff with your name on it based upon everything that Jesus got for you. Because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world as well. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. He was slain before the foundation of the world. This provision was made before the foundation of the world. And there's a warehouse there, and the warehouse has all this stuff. Whose stuff is it? Yours. Everything. Over in 1 Peter, 2 Peter says, according to life and godliness, he's already given you. Say amen to this. Amen. So now I got to get it. See? Now, how do I get it? What did y'all say? I thought I heard. By what? Faith. But how does faith come? By hearing what? Word of God. So in this word of God, called the Bible, is the word that you need as seed. That once it's sown, it will bring the faith to access the warehouse that's got your stuff in it that will produce in this earth. The New Testament in its Bible carries everything in it that Jesus got for you, won back for you, restored to you, did for you. It's all in there in words. Now, what I got to do is I got to take these words and convert them. I got to make this word become flesh. Now, this word is telling me exactly what's in the warehouse. See, faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. See, what's not seen? See, what you've hoped for. It's the healing. It's the new job. It's It's the new home. It's so forth. Are you following what I'm saying? All of it's right there. It's right there. Now, how do I know it's there? Because I got proof. What's the proof? My faith. Where did my faith come from? The Word of God. So I got to believe that word. I got to believe every word it says. I got to not doubt, because if I doubt, faith doesn't work. If faith doesn't work, I can't access my promises. Come on now. And it's my responsibility. It's not God's responsibility to get it to me. It's my. He's done his part. Now it's my part. I got to access what's there in the invisible and bring it back into the now. This is Christmas time, folks. Praise God. So I'm saying it's all there, and it's abundant. It's an inexhaustible supply. It will never run out. It's designed to have everything you need in abundance until you leave this earth, until you're no longer existing here. That's how much is there. All right? Now, the process, of course, is faith, because faith reaches into the realm of the unseen. Amen. Come on over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. Ooh, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. All right, are you there? All right, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look what he says here, and I'll start at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So you got two men here. I was teaching our staff meeting on Tuesday. And yesterday, and I was teaching them on this other man. When I say man, I'm talking about generic now, woman or man, you know, male man. But this other man that's inside of this man. What you see is the outer man. Oh, that's old Bill Winston. All right, praise the Lord. Hey. Okay. But inside of this that you see is another man. That's the real one. Say amen to that. Amen. And I said, what the enemy's job is to do is get you to focus only on the outer one. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. See, it flesh and blood cannot what? Inherit the kingdom of God. What is that? I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. And you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So you can't get these promises with this body. These promises can only be accessed by the real you. That's that person inside of you. Say amen to that. And God is not holding them back from you, because they're already yours. They're already yours. You don't need to beg. Lord, please heal me. No, you don't need to go through that. He'd be saying, you already healed. No, Lord, please heal. You are already healed. But anyway, my point to you is, everything he's going to do for you, he's already done. And the good news is that it's free. Now, this is what I want to work here tonight. All right, let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Isn't it good to know Jesus? See, he's going to send you into a place where you need something, but you don't have to rely on them to give it to you. You know, you can just get it from home. How many of y'all know heaven? When I say home, that I'm referring to
where you were born from. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3, we were born from above. That's what I'm saying. But you can get it from the kingdom. You got what I'm saying? So you don't need to put pressure on anybody. You don't need to get mad at your auntie because she won't loan you $5. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You can get around all of that. Because you were designed to bring forth a baby. That's why you are the bride. He supplied the seed. And you are called a chaste virgin. Without a spot, come on, or wrinkle or any such thing. That's why brides wear white. I mean, I know we do it by faith, but we put it on, praise God. You know what I'm saying? Okay. All right. Now, okay, this is a faith life. Didn't it say walk by faith? See, you can't focus on your past, because that'll take you to your past. You got to focus where you're going. I'm going to a marriage supper. I don't know about you, but I'm headed that way. Oh, you got an enemy out there. His job is to remind you what you've done.
Yes.
That's his job.
Amen.
Jesus' job is to remind you what you got and where you're going.
Right.
Say amen to this.
Amen.
All right, all this is Romans chapter 10 now. This is all in there. So we go back here to Numbers. Oh, pardon me. Could you just put it up on the board, please? I didn't read the last part of that. Okay. Just stay at Numbers chapter 13, if you will. Put something right there and turn right back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I need to just read this last part. So, you have a heavenly supply. Say it. I have a heavenly supply. All right. Now look at verse 17. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's the first time I ever saw that. I mean, you really saw it. Man, that's good. While. See, don't disconnect the while from the previous verse. Are you following what I'm saying? While there, I'm not an English major, but is that a conjunction or preposition? Forget it. For while we look not at the things which are seen. See? But at the things which are what? Not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So there's two realms here that I got to be concerned with. One is the temporal realm, which my flesh is in. The other is the eternal realm, which my spirit is in. Now I got two realms here that I'm operating in. And Jesus went in and out of both of them. The one in the temporal is the one under time. The one in the eternal is the one above time. The way I'm supposed to control the temporal is from the eternal. Even when I pray and I command things to happen, command the devil to let go something, I must pray from seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm commanding the devil to come out. See, because I'm seated far above him. Y'all follow what I'm saying? That's the kind of prayer that the saints need to really get into. And that starts with knowing who you are. And that's what that song you just heard that Donald Lawrence just sang there. There is a king in you. I said, there is a king in you. So while we look not at the things that are seen, so don't focus on the things that are not seen, but on the focus on the things that are seen, but on the things that are what? Not seen. So I'm focusing on something that's not seen. In the military, as I trained in fighters that I flew, you have a radar. That radar, you put it in the air-to-air mode, and in that air-to-air mode, it'll show you clouds. If you want to see clouds, you want to see a thunder clouds out in front of you. Sometimes you don't want to go through those clouds. Those clouds are some of those cumulonimbus that go all the way up 50, 55, 60,000 feet. They got such hailstones in there, they'll beat anything up. And it's very violent inside of them. But, so you want to see them on the radar and go around them. But in that, also that radar, it can pick up things from a distance. So you can take the radar and flip it to 25 miles out and 50 miles out and 100 miles out, and it'll pick it up. It'll pick it up like a blimp, and it's in the airplane. It's just sweeping just like that, and it'll pick it up. And so you pick it up. Once you pick it up, you can take the, well, you got what now is a mouse, but you didn't have that then. You had a clicker. And you click onto it. You lock onto it. But the danger in locking onto it, if you ever lock onto that airplane that's coming, let's say it's coming towards you, once you lock onto it, you can get all the information on it. You can get how far it is, how high it is. You can get how much speed it is coming at you. Everything. It reads into the computer and reads everything. But you can't get that unless you lock onto it. But the danger in locking onto it, that once you lock onto whatever's coming at you, everything else on your scope goes away. So now, if anything else is coming at you, you're vulnerable. But with Jesus, you can lock on to the promise and know that the angel's going to keep you until you get to that promised land. You follow what I'm saying? So you can lock on to it. And you have to trust him. And that's what a lot of people don't want to do. They don't want to lock on to that and trust that word. I got to trust God. He's my keeper. He's my deliverer. The angels of the Lord are around me. I got to trust that he's going to get me right there. Man, you lock on to Jesus and you have your rent due and you sow a seed for that rent and you locked on in faith, do you realize he'll put everything in suspense until that seed, a harvest comes in? Put it all in suspense. Y'all with me? See, I've been here. I've been to all of this. Praise God. All right. Now, do you have numbers? Okay. So while we look not at the things which are what? Seen, because we know it's trouble in the seen realm. So he's going to put us in areas that there's trouble there. But we can't look at what we see. If we want to bring something forth, we got to look at what we cannot see. And that starts with the word of God. Got it? All right. Now, look at number. Is this getting too deep for you? Am I? All right. Look at numbers. Numbers chapter 8, because there's something I want to get here at Numbers chapter 13. There's something I want to say here tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you believe the Bible?
Yes.
As the man say, do you believe the Bible? He said, yeah, I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. Praise God. Are you sick? Yeah. Okay, now, all right. Let's look at this. Look at Numbers chapter 13. You with me? Now, this is when they went out to spy out the land of Canaan. And as they went to spy out that land of Canaan, what happened was the 12 spies came back and gave a report. And let's look and see how that went. Verse 25. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. So they brought back word, okay? And they told them and said, we came to the land where you sent us, and surely it floweth with what? Milk and honey. And this is the what of it? Fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land. Lord, have mercy.
I just got a revelation of scripture just a minute. The people be strong that dwell in that land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, what are they looking at now? Are they looking at what is seen or what is not seen? All right. Remember when the Elijah was giving the secrets away of which way Syria was going to attack Israel? That was found in 2 Kings chapter 6. And which way they're going to attack Israel? And notice what happened. He came and the king of Syria got frustrated because now every time he went to attack Israel, they knew which way he was coming. And he said there was a traitor in his camp. And somebody said, there's not a traitor, king. There's a prophet down there. And this prophet is telling them everything you're about to do. Say amen to that. I mean, isn't that a good way to win a business deal? I mean, man, this is woo-hoo-hoo. All right, so what happens is they sent for him. They sent an army of Syrian soldiers by night and surrounded him. And like I said, that was a dumb move right there. Because if he knew which way they were coming by day, wouldn't he know which way they were coming by night? Okay. So he didn't panic because he's not looking at things which are seen. And that's, I'm going to teach on this because I'm getting something together on hearing the voice of God. And when you hear the voice of God, immediately doubt leaves. It clears up all doubt. Now, so here come the people, they surrounded him, and the servant of the man of God got up early in the morning to get him some water or something, and he came and he saw himself surrounded, and he and his master, and he said, "Master, what are we going to do now?" He said, in other words, he panicked. Now, he panicked because of what he could what? See. He panicked because of what he could see. Now, what was he looking at? What was seen or what was not seen? He was looking at what was seen. And if you look too hard on the problem, you'll panic. Or you could. My point to you is that we are to look at it, but look through it. See, you look through it, see? And each time something comes up, have your finger on the trigger. Fire out, fire a round of the word. Yes. Pow, right in your mind. Yes. And don't try to think it out, say it. Yes. Because some people try to think the devil away. You can't think the devil away. Jesus said, it is written. He, it's his mouth that was moving.
Yes, sir.
It is written, okay? You can't outthink the devil now. Okay, so my point to you is that notice you could look at one or two things and the prophet said, hey, take it easy. They're more with us than be with them. And then he prayed, Lord, open his eyes. And he opened the young man's eyes. He saw all those angels. Let me ask you something. If you went in a business deal and the angel said, I'm going with you and I will whisper in your ear what to say. Man, you walk in there like you on 35th Street. What up in here? Yeah. All the confidence comes. See, because you know the word.
That's right.
See? So anyway, so they came back and they gave this report based on what they saw. They didn't consider the word. That wasn't the deal. They could tell what they saw. But not only did they see something, they brought back proof. They brought back proof of the land. Look at this, verse 29. And the Amalekites dwell in the land to the south, the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now, let me just show you something. Can y'all relax for a minute? Hold your hand right there, and let's turn to Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Okay, now these are your promises. They're still there, whether you collect them or not. I wish I could collect yours, but they are there. No, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that. But my point to you is you're responsible to take everything that Jesus died for.
Look what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and goodly, what? Cities, which you, what? Build not. And houses. Now wait, let's say the word. I know it's tough for you to say that. Houses full of all good things, which you filleth not. All right, let's just stop right there at the houses. Come on back over here to Numbers chapter 13, verse 29. And the Amalekites dwell in the land to the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now, when I hear the word dwell, I think of houses. Say amen. Amen. So right there, he's telling me, I can have a house in Denver on the mountains. I can have a house in Florida or by the sea in Hawaii. Come on, I can have a summer home, winter home, spring home, autumn home, homes, and better homes and gardens. Now, my point to you is that they didn't look at it like that. They looked at it as an obstacle rather than an opportunity. And you have a choice in your mind whether or not you're going to look at it. And I'm going to tell you, for the most part, most of the time, the seed of your deliverance is in the problem. Oh, Lord, I can't go into that. But anyway, so notice, let's come back to Numbers chapter 14. So the Bible says in verse 30, Caleb stilled the people and before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it. Now, Lord, have mercy. Verse 31. But the men that went up with him, said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. All right, stronger than we. Come to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let me know when you get there. All right, verse 1. And the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land where these go in to possess it, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than you are. So right there, you know they're going to be stronger than you. So whatever you're coming up against is going to be a giant. So don't be trying to minimize the thing. God's going to give you victories that you didn't win. Come on. Say amen to this. He's going to give you property you can't afford. I'm trying to help you now, because the tendency is for us to try to bring this down to a level that we can fight the battle. No, that's not the deal. The deal is he's going to fight the battle. Let's go. Oh, we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Boy, somebody's getting happy here. I can feel it in my spirit. Verse 2. And when the Lord God shall deliver them before you, you shall do what? Smite them. This is verse 2, all right? Before you, you shall smite them and utterly do what to them? Destroy them. And thou shalt make no covenant, come on, with them, nor show mercy to them. In other words, you're not going to go to them begging for a handout. You're going to move in there in righteousness, knowing who you represent. Come on over to Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1. We about to frustrate the devil. We're about to humiliate the devil. We're about to take it and laugh in his face. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from this wilderness of Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the who? Hittites. Notice he didn't mention Jebusites. He didn't mention Canaanites. He didn't mention any of those ites. He mentioned only Hittites. What are Hittites? They come from the line of Heth. Heth means terror. In other words, the first spirits you're going to come up against are spirits that are going to try to put a spirit of fear on you, and they're going to try to protect that land. But fear not, God says. I am with you. I don't want you to believe anything your five senses tell you if it doesn't agree with the word of God. That's the word of God right there. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before you, what? All the days of your life. Wherever God leads you, no man, I don't care how powerful his position, I don't care how much money, how big a billionaire he is, I don't care how much mafia he controls, I don't care how much of the political climate he's regulating, no man, praise God, will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I'm telling you, some of God's people need to get the fear out of their hearts. When that fear is in your heart, this doesn't excite you. But once that fear leaves your heart, you know this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And wherever you go, Satan's got to bow under your foot. Now I'm watching what's happening in this banking system. Man, that thing is, all that stuff, that man, this stuff is, I don't want to say all I want to say because I know I'm going out over the internet, but I'm telling you, I'm about to go up against some giants. I ain't bowing down. I'm telling you, some of these systems out here are rotten to the core. And I'm telling you, they hide behind laws that people have made, but I'm under one law, the law of heaven. And I'm telling you, that's what you got to stand up and represent. Say amen to that. He says in verse 5, as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. I will not what? Fail you or what? Forsake you. That's a covenant promise. I don't care where you go. You don't need to wonder whether I'm there or not. I am there. You just say what I say. You just do what I tell you to do. Say amen to that. And notice what he says. As I was with Moses. Well, let's see how he was with Moses. I'm out of time. Can I have two more minutes here? Look how he, let's go to Exodus chapter 23 and just look and see how he was, I'm talking about changing your world now. God's going to drop you off in a place where he wants you to change it. He wants you to be a world changer. He wants you to change whatever spot he puts you in and put it under subjection of the government of Almighty God. Folks, 2012 is the year of government. It's the year that God's government shall be manifested in this earth. What you've been struggling with, you will struggle with no more. Harvest is going to come in from 10 years back. Halabashana. Look at verse 20. Behold, I sent an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place where I prepared. So God's going to send some protection. He's going to send some provision. He's going to send a person that's going to preserve you. It's an angel, and angels, it says in verse 21, now beware of him, obey his voice, don't provoke him. Because he will not pardon you your transgression, for my name is in him. In other words, don't speak nothing but what I say. Don't try to go against your angel, because he's listening for my voice. You speak what I tell you to speak, and look at verse, glory to God, verse 22, and if you shall indeed obey his voice and do what I speak, then I'll be an enemy to your enemies. I'll be an adversary to your adversaries, for my angel shall go before you and bring you into the Amorites, come on, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I'm gonna cut them off. Every one of them. Now let's go back to Numbers chapter 13 for just a moment. He said in James chapter 4, verse 7, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not he might, he will flee from you. That's a law. Now we are to take deliverance on everything that Jesus died to provide. And this is our inheritance. Now, let me just give you this and we'll see, can we close here? One, they said the land is there. This Bible is evidence of your promise. Second, the land is good. The word good, if you look in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when God speaks, the Hebrew word is tob, T-O-W-B. It means the best. God wants his people to have the best. Don't turn to it, just put it up on the board, please. Put up Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply, watch this, all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Leave it up there. Notice what he said. According to his riches, not out of his riches. We're not talking about quantity here. We're talking about quality. See, we're not talking about God giving you some of his so he decreases. That's not what we're talking about. See, to read that into that verse comes from a person who has a pie mentality. A pie mentality is usually with people with shortage thinking. They think that if you cut too big a piece, you're not going to leave a big piece for them. It's kind of like pitting the rich against the poor in politics. But God, if you want the whole pie, he got more pie. It doesn't make any difference. You don't need to be concerned about cutting too big a piece. He just slide another pie out there. See, there's some mess going on in politics, and I don't like it. So the land is there. The land is good, meaning it's the best. So the best of everything God has for you. Of everything. The very best. Third, the land is free. Oh, Lord. Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, Lord willing, this is where I'm going to pick up next time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me know when you get there. Verse 9. But as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Let's back that up, because one place won't hurt. I got to have it more than one place, because out of two or three, every word is going to be established. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And look what it says in verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Now, don't be trying to read something else into that. Well, all spiritual things. That is not what that's talking about. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, the world or life or death, or things present and things to come, all are yours. Amen. Now you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Amen. Let's do one more. Psalm chapter 105. I said the house is free. Now we working this thing now. Look what it says here in verse 43. And he brought forth his people with what? Joy. And his chosen with gladness. And gave them the lands of the who? Heathen. And they inherited, come on, the labor of the people. I know they made it. But they made it for you. If you need it. Now you're not going nowhere telling nobody, stick them up, give me that stuff. No, you're going to have to use your faith to transfer this. Are you following what I'm saying? So one, the land is there. The land is good. The land is free. And we'll start here next time. But the land is occupied. Give the Lord a praise. We're going to possess that land next time. Remember now, no man can enter a strong man's house except he first, come on, bind a strong man. And then he'll spoil his goods, take from him everything he has stolen. It's some stolen property out here that is now being returned. Did y'all learn something out of this today? Changing your world. Folks, you can get that message there and work that. I mean, you need to get in this thing and see, because I got a feeling here that everything going to be all right. Praise the Lord. Oh-wee! See, this is what the enemy doesn't want. He doesn't want us to possess what legally belongs to us. The first thing he comes with is fear and intimidation. He makes you think either you're going to be a laughing stock, or you're going to lose, or you're going to come up against too much for you, or whatever have you. Folks, the king came up against the three Hebrews. Said, if you don't bow, you're going to burn. Here's what they said to the king. King, I hear what you're saying, and we respect you, but the God that we represent. Woo-wee. Now notice, he threw him in the fire, so you don't know how God's going to deliver you. Whether he's coming down Des Plaines Avenue, whether he's coming down Roosevelt Road, whether he's coming by air or by sea. But you do know he's going to deliver you. For many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. Folks, I believe my job this year in 2012 is to raise up an army that will not be defeated. An army, when somebody gets sick, that army is all over them and will get them back in perfect health. I'm talking about let's make it so that there's not one feeble one in a bunch. Let's make it so that there's not one broke one in the bunch. If somebody needs a job, they'll have it in 7 days. Every time. Somebody's here and you need to be saved. And you know in your life you're not right with God. This is your time. You can't get this unless you come to God.